Psalm 37, and our text today is verses 8 to 20. Psalm 37, verses 8 to 20. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have abundance. But the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. Now, last week we saw the importance of waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord, the discipline of solitude. And we saw what it means to be still before his throne and receive orders from him, to wait patiently for him. Don't fret. That is the command we need to obey when we face crisis situations in our life. Don't fret. Don't compare yourself with anyone else. Learn to look to the Lord. Learn to look beyond the situation and circumstances. And get yourself preoccupied with the Lord. Get yourself preoccupied with the Lord. And we saw how we could do that by making God your hope, making God your delight, making God your guide, and making God your king. Now we will observe the fruit of this waiting, the fruit of waiting upon the Lord. What does the fruit of solitude result in? Number one, the fruit of solitude results in a life that is free from revenge and rage. In Psalm 37 verse 8 we read, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm." Fretting leads to sinful anger. When we learn the discipline of solitude and when we exercise this discipline of solitude in our lives, we will live lives that are free from anger and wrath and rage. Now, anger in itself is not sinful. God has instilled in us certain emotions, including anger. When these emotions are working together properly, they serve to preserve us and to build us. But anger is like fire. When we use fire properly, it can help us. However, if you leave fire to itself, a small spark, a small fire can become a raging inferno and destroy everything in its path. Aristotle wrote about anger, and this is what he said. Anybody can become angry. That is easy. But to be angry with the right person, and to the right degree, and at the right time, and for the right purpose, and in the right way, that is not within everybody's power, and that is not easy. Now, Aristotle was right when he said that. Very few people have learned to express this God-given emotion in the way that God intended. So what happens is when we mix anger with pride, pettiness, when we mix anger with greed or envy, that's when we create serious problems for ourselves and also for other people. That's how we allow our anger to lead to sin. And sinful anger is destructive, and sinful anger leads to vengeance, it leads to rage, it leads to a bad temper. Anger that is out of place is sin. Just as sex outside marriage is sin. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 26, the Apostle Paul says, "Be angry and do not sin. Be angry and do not sin." The Lord Jesus became angry without sinning. When we follow him and use our emotion of anger properly and righteously, then anger will become constructive rather than a destructive force in our lives. What is wrath? Wrath is an agitated outburst of anger, and wrath flares up suddenly if ongoing anger is smoldering inside of us. Now the fruit of solitude, the fruit of quietness, waiting patiently for the Lord in solitude, that takes away revenge and wrath from our lives. Psalm 4 verse 4 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still." The New Living Translation translates this verse like this: "Don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. Think about it overnight and remain silent." In other words, don't give way to exasperation, but turn your thoughts to God. Redirect your emotions to him. Talk to him in prayer. Talk to him about how you feel, and you will experience deliverance. The purpose of silence and solitude is to be able to see and think the right way and hear the voice of God. James tells us that a person who can control his tongue is perfect. James chapter 3 verses 1 to 12. "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged by God with greater strictness. We all make many mistakes, but those who control their tongues can also control themselves in every other way. We can make a large horse turn around and go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a tiny rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot wants it to go, even though the winds are strong. So also the tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is full of wickedness that can ruin your whole life. It can turn the entire course of your life into a blazing flame of destruction. It can turn the entire course of your life into a blazing flame of destruction, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals and birds and reptiles and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is an uncontrollable evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it breaks out into curses against those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Can you pick olives from a fig tree or figs from a grapevine? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty pool. Now the wise preacher of Ecclesiastes, he says, there is a time to keep silent and a time to speak. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 7. There is a time to keep silent and a time to speak. So control is the key. And the important thing to understand is no man can tame the tongue. Only the Holy Spirit can tame the tongue. We as human beings, we can't tame. In fact, we can't tame any part of our body. That is why it's so important for us to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. Our tongue can guide us as well as control us. So if we get angry unrighteously and sin in speech, Soon we are forced to behave in a certain way to justify our unrighteous speech. So that is why James tells us in James chapter 3 verse 6 that the tongue is a fire. Our tongue should not control us. So we must ask the Holy Spirit, to take control of our tongues. That is why it is so important for us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Every morning when you get up, the first thing that you must do is to offer your body afresh to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Ask the Lord to take complete control of your body, your mind, your emotions, your reason, your affection, your will, every bit of your being. Offer your being to God from the crown of your head to the sole of your foot. Offer your body as a living sacrifice to God. Ask the Holy Spirit to take complete control of you, so that in all that you think and say and do, you will bring glory to God. So our tongue should not control us. We must ask the Holy Spirit to take control of our tongues. So when we are walking in the Holy Spirit, when we are walking in the Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit, then every faculty of our body is yielded to Him. A Spirit-controlled tongue is what we need. Then the emotion of anger is also under the control of the Holy Spirit. Then anger will be displayed, yes, anger will be displayed in love, in humility, and self-control. The Lord will then use this emotion of anger for our good and for His glory. So yield that emotion of anger over to God and experience His power. So the fruit of solitude, waiting on the Lord, results in a life that is free from revenge and rage. A life that is free from revenge and rage. Number two, it results in a life of meekness. It results in a life of meekness. Psalm 37 verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. That was the gospel promise of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. On the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord preached this. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In the Bible, meekness does not mean weakness. A meek husband is not a weak husband. Moses was called the meekest man on the face of the earth. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. But Moses wasn't weak. He was bold before Pharaoh. He boldly led the children of Israel. At times he had to execute judgment. In Matthew chapter 11 verse 29, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus was never a weak man. We see Him in boldness, cleansing the temple. He was not weak in character, but He was meek. So what is meekness? Meekness is power under control. Moses had the power and authority to crush people, but he did not do that as a leader. He used the power that was entrusted to him by God, directed by God, and guided by Him. Meekness causes you to speak the truth in love. Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, "Where do you come from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Jesus would speak only when the Father unctioned Him to speak. In John chapter 8 verse 28 we find Jesus saying, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will realize that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own, but I speak what the Father taught me." So, who was the one who was speaking with power under control? Was it Pilate or Jesus? It was Jesus. Jesus in meekness. Pilate says, "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." So who was in power? The Roman governor or Jesus? It was Jesus. These words, by the way, were spoken after Jesus was flogged by the Roman whip. Pilate led him over to be flogged. In John chapter 19 verse 1. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. So after this, these words were spoken. So Jesus, weak and frail and wounded in his body, yet full of meekness in his character. John chapter 19 verses 9 to 11. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." He laid down his life in meekness, and he had the power to raise it up again. It is the meek, therefore, that shall inherit the earth. It is not the proud and arrogant. It is the meek that will inherit the earth. God can certainly afford to give an inheritance to those who willingly submit to his control, to those who are meek. The inheritance belongs to those who are submissive to his will, not to their own self-will. Such people are God-controlled and Christ-centered in their lives. They do not fight against God with clenched fists, but their hands are open to receive what God wants to give them. And what does God want to give them? God wants to give them an inheritance and shalom, peace. Psalm 37 verse 11. Those who are gentle and lowly will possess the land. They will live in prosperous security. In verse 13, we see that God laughs at the wicked. Psalm 37 verse 13. But the Lord just laughs, for he sees their day of judgment coming. The wicked think that they control the earth, but the Lord laughs at them. Psalm 2 verse 4. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. The wicked think that they can do what they feel like and get away. Psalm 37 verse 12. The wicked plot against the godly. They snarl at them in defiance. Psalm 37 verse 14. The wicked draw their swords and string their bows to kill the poor and the oppressed, to slaughter those who do right. But God is in control, and he will give his inheritance to people who are under his control. He will judge the wicked. Psalm 37 verse 9. For the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. Psalm 37 verse 15. But they will be stabbed through the heart with their own swords, and their bows will be broken. And verse 20, Psalm 37 verse 20. But the wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies are like flowers in a field. They will disappear like smoke. The devil has taken possession of the kingdoms of the earth by deception. We've seen that. But Jesus redeemed the earth through meekness, through his death on the cross, on Calvary. The devil is a defeated enemy. Although he hasn't conceded defeat, he's a defeated enemy. The kingdoms of the earth belong rightfully to Jesus today. And he shall take possession of the earth, and his kingdom shall be established on earth. When he reigns, he will reign on earth for 1,000 years, and we will reign with him. We will reign with him and possess the earth. Jesus holds the title deed to planet earth. And all that belongs to Jesus belongs to his children, because we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Because he has made us heirs and co-heirs with him. Romans chapter 8 verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. James chapter 2 verse 5. Listen, my beloved brothers. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? So you and I, we have everything in the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore we don't have to worry. Under his control, we can manifest the fruit of self-control. We can exhibit self-control. Meekness is the fruit of the discipline of waiting upon the Lord, the fruit of the discipline of solitude. Number three, the discipline of solitude produces the fruit of assurance. And this is very important. The assurance that God is in control. Romans 8 verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? In Psalm 37 verses 16 to 20, God gives us all the assurance that we need to live in peace. It is better to be godly and have little than to be evil and possess much. For the strength of the wicked will be shattered, but the Lord takes care of the godly. The Lord takes care of the godly. Day by day, the Lord takes care of the innocent, and they will receive a reward that lasts forever. They will survive through hard times. Even in famine, they will have more than enough. But the wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies are like flowers in a field. They will disappear like smoke. Psalm 37 verses 16 to 20, the New Living Translation. So the first assurance is that God knows my need. God knows my need. Verse 16. What is the point in having hundreds of crores of rupees without having peace? That's why verse 16 says, it is better to be godly and have little than to be evil and possess much. What's the point in having a mansion if there is no peace? If the mansion is not a home, what's the use of the mansion? What's the point in making all the black money, ending up rich, but losing all your values? Psalm 37 verse 16. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. It's better to have a little and have God than to have much and not have God. Matthew chapter 6 verses 31 to 34. So don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about these things? Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs, and He will give you all you need from day to day if you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. God knows every need of yours. Your financial need, your physical need, your emotional need, your psychological needs, your spiritual needs. He knows everything. And He promises to provide everything if your heart is primarily set on Him and His kingdom. The second assurance that we have is that God knows my frame. In other words, God knows how much I can take. He knows your burden. He knows how much you can bear. He knows how much stress you're going through, how much of pressure you're going through. I had my COVID second shot yesterday, and I've been very, very tired. And I was wondering how I will do the evening today, midweek service. How will I be able to preach, Lord? I was telling the Lord. I also sent a message to Diana when I sent the PPT to her. I said, I'm feeling very weak, pray. And about half an hour before the meeting started, I'm feeling fresh now. All the tiredness is gone. You see, God knows our every need. He knows when we desire to serve Him. He knows our every need, and He will provide for us. He will empower us by His Spirit. He will guide us. He will provide for us. He knows everything. And He promises to provide everything if your heart is primarily set on His kingdom. God knows. He knows my frame. He knows how much we can take. He created you. He will not give you a trial that you cannot bear. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13, the New Living Translation. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way. He will show you a way out so that you can endure. When God puts you through the furnace of affliction, always remember, He always keeps His eye on the clock and His hand on the thermostat. You will learn more of the discipline of solitude as you go through the furnace of affliction. God knows how long, and God knows how much of heat you can take. How much of heat you can take. He has His hand on the thermostat. He has His eye on the clock. The third assurance that we have is that God knows my days. Psalm 37 verse 18. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. The engine driver of the train that I travel in, he knows my destiny.
Therefore, when I'm traveling in second class sleeper berth, I can trust the man who drives the train. See, if you and I, we can have faith in the engine drivers and the auto rickshaw drivers and the bus drivers, why is it that we lack faith in God who knows our days? So sit back and let him do the driving and stop worrying. Get rid of backseat driving. Stop being anxious of the future. Learn to rest in him. Learn to live a day at a time. Now, how does a Christian practically experience the discipline of solitude? We saw last week that it is important to arise early in the morning and spend time with God. Jesus did that. And we need to follow his example. Begin the day by offering your body to God. Then spend time in worship and thanksgiving. The next thing that you need is to pick up the Bible and fill your mind and your heart with the Word of God. Ask God to write his Word upon your mind and your heart. Read the Bible systematically. Read, I would say, when you're just reading the scripture, read large portions of scripture. When you're just reading, when you're studying, of course, you have to, go through step by step, stage by stage. But when you're reading the Bible, read as much as you can at one point of time, because then that will give you the overall perspective of the scriptures. And always keep a notebook. Keep a notebook next to you and write down what you learn. Some words God will speak to you. Write that down. Observe the passage. This is very important. Observe the passage. Ask questions like what, when, where, who, why. These are observation questions. What does the passage say about God? What does the passage say about man? About the situation. Observe facts keenly. After observation comes interpretation. What does this passage mean? You see, you are asking the Holy Spirit to teach you. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. Open my heart, Lord, that I may see wonderful truths out of thy law. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. And he will interpret God's word to you. Go into the references of the passage. Remember that scripture interprets scripture. So if you're not able to understand a particular verse, maybe a reference to another verse will help you to understand the previous verse better. Then comes reflection. The word of God is like a mirror. So as you see yourself in a mirror and then you make the necessary corrections on your face, God's word is the mirror that will tell you about the changes that need to take place inside of you. The word of God does not remove the dirt from your life, but the word of God is like a mirror which tells you where the dirt is. The blood of Jesus Christ alone can cleanse us. The blood of Jesus Christ removes the dirt. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from every sin. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. So confess every revealed sin. As you're reading the word of God, the Holy Spirit will convict you of particular sin in your life. Confess that and ask the Lord to empower you by his Spirit so that you can forsake that sin. So confess every revealed sin which God points out to you from his word. Receive the forgiveness which Christ offers you by faith. Ask for inner strength to overcome. James chapter 1 verses 23 to 24. James 1, 23 to 24. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So it's so important for us to apply the scripture. So we come to the word application. Ask yourself, how is this passage relevant to my situation? What principle have I learned that I need to apply? Application is an observance of relevance. Where can I apply this truth in my life? Then we come to activation. Turn the passage into prayer. Many Christians have no words to pray because they haven't learned how to convert God's word into prayer. Pray the passage into your life. Observe his word, obey his word and claim the promises that God has for you in his word in prayer.
Then comes implementation. Go out and do what God tells you to do. Do it in faith and you will see God working through you. Keep asking the Lord, Lord, what will you have me to do? Translate the word of God into action. That is obedience. That is obedience. Finally, we come to memorization. Whatever you love, you will memorize. You will remember. If you love the word of God, you will remember the word of God. Psalm 119 verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word of God will be like a sword in your hand against the enemy. The discipline of solitude is the key to a victorious life. So learn to live a day at a time. God says, as your days, so shall your strength be. Deuteronomy chapter 33 verse 25. As your days, so shall your strength be. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000s beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Reminded of that hymn, great is thy faithfulness. So trust God for today. One day at a time. Remember that song, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking of you. So may we learn by experience that the fruit of solitude, waiting on the Lord, will bring to us, number one, a life that is free of vengeance and rage. Number two, a life of meekness. Number three, a life that is filled with peace of assurance that God knows my need, God knows my frame, and God knows my days. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?